magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 13th, 2025. We're jumping right back into our series through the book of Exodus, as preached by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. During the Advent season, we had other Christmas messages and specials, but today we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 12, verses 33 through 51. Now, if you missed out on some of the past messages or want to hear them again or send them on to a friend, you can access them at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab and click on 2024. Today's message and our new series with Pastor Rick Warren titled Seeking God for a Breakthrough will be heard on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in the coming days. All right, here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church on today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
So as we get to this passage, before we dig in, where we have found it is all the plagues are over, all the signs of God are done. And at the very end, Pharaoh says something to Moses, and this is what he says to Moses. He says, "Will you bless me?" I think it's interesting that we cannot forget that through all the plagues, through all the slavery, through all the pain, through all the darkness that we've been walking through these last couple months of studying what it means to be a slaver, what it means to be a slave, well, all these different things. At the very end, remember the purpose of all of it was this word called redemption. Like, God wants the world to know who he is, how much he loves them, and he's created a way for them to be with him forever. Like, that's his purpose. And anytime you don't read scripture with that in the back of your brain, you're going to read it the wrong way. It's not us versus them. It's us. And this passage tells us this because even Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened, even Pharaoh, who was the person that was literally oppressing and enslaving everyone, at the very end in this moment, what's he say? This God just needs to bless me. Well, as we get into this passage, I want to ask us a question before we get in and we just talk about something that happened almost 4,000 years ago. And this is the question. What holds us back? If you remember, a couple months ago, I had chains on a stage, and I was carrying the chains around, and what enslaves you, or what are you chained to? Instead of bringing the chains up here, because honestly, my shoulder's a little tender, I just thought I would ask you the question, what holds you back? What I mean by what holds you back is really, this next statement is, what in your world keeps you from being who you were created to be? Does what hold you back a spirit of fear? A spirit of control? A spirit of worry or anxiety, a spirit of self-indulgence, whether that be physical, sexual, emotional, is what holds you back a spirit of achievement? Like, the only joy you have is when something goes well. Is the spirit that holds you back maybe a spirit of confusion, or for sure something that lacks clarity? Maybe it's a spirit of anger, or a spirit of bitterness, or a spirit of lack of forgiveness. But the reason I'm asking the question is this. Today, as we talk about, whether we're talking about slavery and we're talking about being objectified, or we're talking about the addictions that we hold, a spirit of addiction, or we're talking about the spirit of like shame and guilt from past that God's already freed us from, I just need to make sure we understand one real simple truth is if you don't know how to identify what is from the enemy and what is something that holds you back, this is the easiest way to do it. When God created the heavens and the earth, was it present? Because if that spirit wasn't present in the beginning with God and it was good, then it's not from him. And so the things that hold me back and the things that hold you back, hear me say this really clearly. The reason they hold you back is you weren't meant to carry them. God didn't create you to carry death because he didn't want it. He didn't create you to carry anxiety, stress, control, self-indulgence. He didn't create us to carry those things. So the reason why they're so heavy, the reason why injuries or sickness or pain are so heavy is because, family, your shoulders weren't meant to create, they weren't created to carry them. And so today, as we look at this passage and we see a nation who's about to be set free, I don't want us to leave the room still being held back and being enslaved. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says it this way. It says that to throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily trips you up. And so this is the way I'd say this. Anything in your world that hinders you from being the father, the husband, the wife, the mother, the single, the student, the child, the grandparent, the friend, the neighbor that you're supposed to be, if it slows you down, hear me say this. Throw it off, y'all. And then anything that trips you, that's the sin, which that's easier for us to identify at least, is like anything that the sin that trips us up that literally causes the hindrances. Don't miss that. What causes your hindrances are the sin. Now, when you remove the sin, you still have to deal with hindrances, but the sin is the root cause of most of our what? That slows us down. We would never run a race carrying extra baggage. We wouldn't play a basketball game wearing a weighted vest. We wouldn't want a football player to wear extra-sized everything and weights in his pockets. Family, God doesn't want you to live this life being held back. So today in this passage, as we look at it, don't miss the spirit of a slaver is one who objectifies, right? You remember that? The spirit of a slave is someone who's been objectified, and we find our identity in being an object, which all of us can relate to all of that. And here's this moment is it's about to happen. It's about to be a moment we're set free. And if it's hard for us to think, well, what are we talking about? What holds us back? Original thought, I'm just going to give it to you again, is anything that you're struggling with in this world that wasn't from the very beginning is something you need to let go of. It's something that's holding us back. It starts this way. The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up, and their cloaks on their shoulders. So this is what happens is the Egyptian people, Pharaoh says, "Bless me." And he's like, "Not only get out, we will move you out. We will buy the trucks. We will pack the truck. Get out. We recognize that there is this God. He is your God. He is greater than our gods. And get out," is what he says. In this passage, it mentions bread. It mentions bread all the time. I literally spent hours this week thinking, "Lord, why so much bread?" And then I started to study like the Jewish perspective of unleavened bread and leavened bread. And this is quite simply this. I think the reason why he said it directly is because it was easier to travel with. I'm not going to mess around. But here's the other reason. Later in the passage, you're going to find this concept of yeast in your life, this concept of something in your life like sin that grows and blossoms needs to be removed. And so when God was setting them free from slavery, the chains were falling off, they were walking away from their spirit of depression, the spirit of self-hate, the spirit of self-harm, the spirit of control, the spirit of attack, whatever those spirits were, they're walking away from those things of being objectified. And this is what God says. Don't bring anything with you that reminds you of that. Like, walk away. Do not consume. Don't consume anything that's going to grow that hindrance again. Hey, family, when you've been set free in your life, and most of you have at different moments in your life where you've walked away from an addiction, a hurt, a pain, you've said the word, "I forgive," you've done those things, we walk away and we feel freedom, but then we don't get rid of the dough. We just keep that root of sin in us a little bit. And then it grows again, and then we have the same conversation with God we had a month ago, right? And guess what? He never gets tired of the conversation. He loves you. But family, moving forward, we got to get rid of that stuff. In my life, I think about it a lot is, why am I still tempted by the same things I used to be tempted by? Because I still got that in my bread. I'm still consuming things the Lord didn't intend for me to consume. And in your world, in my world, I'm being honest, this last 6-7 months, there's been a lot of things that God is like changing in me and setting free in me and delivering me from. And a lot of it is when I've been delivered from it, then I'm walking away from it. I'm leaving the yeast away. I'm bringing that in my home no more. And family, that's the decision. Yes, you're forgiven. He loves you. But walk away. Don't bring it with us. It goes on and says this. So the people took their dough before it was even leavened, their kneading bowls before up in their cloaks and shoulders. So this was like super fast. Here's something else I want to point out real quick. Sorry, I'm taking too much time. This has got to go faster. Is when they are leaving, God has already told them to not bring the yeast, right? He's already told them, don't bring it. But guess what he does? He surprises them that guess what? The night they eat the Passover meal, in the middle of the night, he wakes them up and it's time to what? It's time to roll now. You know what God does in my life? Lots of times when I walk away from something I shouldn't be a part of, and I walk away from that, not only is it impossible for me to take it with me, but that thing, that person, that whatever won't go. And it becomes harder. Ever had a relationship that needed to end because of something? Actually, not a relationship that needed to end. A relationship that needed to be changed because it was hurting and broken. It's like every high school girl or guy that I'm counseling, and they're in a relationship that's toxic, and it's too physical, it's too emotional, it's too whatever, and they sit down and they're broken. I say, hey, guess what? The only way this gets healed is for you to stop doing these things and allow it to be healed. And then one person says to the other person, hey, guess what? In order for us to move forward, we have to stop doing this. And then the dude, usually, says, well, then I don't know if I want to be a part of that anymore. And it's really hard on that sweet girl. But guess what? That sweet girl is being set free from something that doesn't want to set her free. See, sometimes in your life, it's like a job. You're doing something in your job that might not be ethical. And you say, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore, but I still want to work here. I still want to work hard. And I say, well, guess what? Then you can't work anymore. Hear me say, you're set free. See, sometimes God knows in my life when I have the ability to walk away from it and truly walk away and still be a part of it. And sometimes he knows I need to walk away and not be a part of it anymore. And I need to ask the Lord to release me in those moments. It goes on and says this, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold and jewelry for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. This is something real simple I just want to mention is, in their lives, their whole lives, they had been working and serving and slaving over things, and they produced a product. And at the end of that product, it was produced out of their brokenness, but it doesn't mean God still can't use something produced out of your brokenness for his glory. Later on, they used those things to build the tabernacle. See, in your life, there's things that you're a part of right now that are broken, that are hurting, that are selfish, that are whatever. And the redemption that we find in the deliverance doesn't mean that those things can't be used. They just aren't used for your glory, they're used for his glory. Isn't it cool how in my brokenness, God can still find glory? And he can in yours as well. It goes on. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, and 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children, a mixed multitude. I underline mixed multitude in my Bible because it is so cool, and it should be like in all caps. And like back in the day, you remember when you would type on a computer and you could like click on one boat and put all caps, italic, underline. Now there's like probably more than that, but I haven't used a computer since really college. But this is what I mean is, why is it such a big deal that it says a mixed multitude? Do you remember when we started this whole book of Exodus? And I said, it's going to be really hard. And people read the Old Testament like, well, why would God do this? And why would God allow this to happen? And why is this heart hardened? And all these things. And it's real good questions. But you have to remember is, if we don't view the Old Testament and the New Testament through the eyes of this word called redemption, through the eyes of the word called reconciliation, the eyes of basically the biggest thing in your life that you're ever going to find that's going to bring you the most joy. Like, the only real purpose in this world is to know who God is. And the purpose of all of the signs of the plagues, the purpose of even an enslavement was to show the world what? Who God is. And guess what happened at the end of it after 430 years? It says a mixed multitude of people left, not just the Jewish folks rolled out. Praise God. In your life and in my life, there's going to be successes and there's going to be hardships. And man, I hope that a mixed multitude of people are blessed by them. It says a mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes out of dough they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait, nor have anyone prepared the provisions themselves. Once again, they're not bringing things they're going to consume from the place that enslaved them. Once we take the chains off in your life, once you take the hindrances off in your life, it doesn't mean you can't associate, but hear me say, let's stop consuming them. If you think about the things in our world that our children deal with, it's because, a lot of it's because we've never let go of those things ourselves. It's even in a household, y'all. We can talk about it from a food standpoint. That's really practical, and it's probably, I mean, it's kind of a little bit irrelevant, but it's relevant because God gives you your body to teach you about your soul. But, like, if you grew up in your house eating Little Debbies, better eat them fast. About to be gone. Anyway, sorry that I shouldn't say things like that. But the reality is you grew up eating those things. Guess what your kids are probably going to eat? Give me some of those cosmic brownies, yo. Give me some purple juice on the side. I am living that dream. But here's the deal. Why do your kids, when they watch a game, react the way they do? Why, when they experience hardship, do they react the way they do? Why do they have conflict and they react to it? Why do they lock themselves in the room, or why do they scream? Why do they walk around feeling guilty versus walk away feeling free? And not all of it's honest as parents, but some of it is. Hey, family, I don't know about you, but you might not love yourself enough to set yourself free, but love the people around you enough to set yourself free. In verse 40, it says this, the time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Y'all, that's crazy. That 430 years to the day of the enslavement, they're set free. This is what's crazy about it. It's like in this moment in all of human history, and this is what God does. In the moment of your pain, in the moment of your brokenness, in the moment of hardship, in the moment of those things, he cares about days. Like, honestly, I'm not a big day guy. Like, if I celebrate Christmas on the 26th or the 24th, I'm good with it. Or my anniversary, as long as my wife's cool with it, I don't care what day we celebrate it. If I'm gone on my birthday, I'm okay. If no one tells me, it's okay. Like, I'm telling you, days to God, they matter. Why do they matter? It reminds us that he's in control. 430 years to the day, they killed that sheep. They put blood on a door and they were delivered. 430 years to the day. Here's what also is crazy. I'm just going to take you on a quick Jewish history lesson that I hope builds your faith. 430 years to the day, this thing called the Passover was started. What the Passover was the moment one, when they literally were set free because the death angel came, and if there's blood on the door, no one was killed in your house. That same very day, what happens? Pharaoh says, hey, come on over here, Moses, come on over here, and you got to get out and plunder us on your way out. Like, literally, we're going to move you out, and we're going to give you all the goods and resources you need to leave. And the only command God says is, eat all of it, because you need all of Jesus. And don't bring any of that dough with you that you're going to consume that's going to remind you and put that back into your body. But be set free. So the Passover happens on that day. Then you fast forward. Then there's this day called Pentecost. They cross the Red Sea. We're going to get to it later. I promise you. Spoiler alert. You're going to be okay. They come out in the wilderness. And then after you're set free from the slavery that you have, after you're set free from death, after you're set free from sin, the next thing the Egyptians, the whole rest of the Bible is about this, being set free from self. Lots of you in this room have surrendered your life to Jesus. You've been set free from death and set free from sin. None of us in this room are set free from self. We're on a journey. But the Pentecost was when he was received the law. Well, how do you understand what's you and what's God? The law. So you're set free from self in this moment. Then you fast forward, you go out into the wilderness and you're there for quite a while. Then you have this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles. On the Feast of Tabernacles is when God came to meet with man in that moment. And he met with Moses in this tabernacle, this tent. And at the same time, they're celebrating the provisions of God as he always provides. Oh, there's one more. The Feast of Trumpets. It's to celebrate when God created the heavens and the earth. Those are just four of them. Now let's rewind. Passover. The celebration of the Exodus. Passover, the night that Jesus died on a cross. Don't need to put blood over your doors no more. His blood has set you free. You are free, I am free because of the blood of Jesus. And it happened on what day in history? The same day. What? That is literally God in heaven being like, gotcha. And don't forget it. Fast forward on Pentecost. They're going to the temple to celebrate the day that God gave them the law. And in that very moment, they're sitting in the temple. They're celebrating. They're having this Pentecost moment. And what happens? The Spirit of living God comes down on them. And it speaks in all the different languages, just like it did, because there was a great multitude of people. In the temple, there's a great multitude of people, every tongue, tribe, and nation. And guess what? They hear this, and the Spirit of God comes inside of them. And the Spirit of God is not to set us free from sin. That's what Jesus did. The Spirit of God sets us free from self. On Pentecost, the same day. You fast forward, Feast of Tabernacles, this is my personal belief, I can't prove this to you. I believe that Jesus was born on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is October. And if that wrecks your world's too small. But I think he was born on Feast of Tabernacles. I really do. I think that's why Mary and Joseph were on their way to Bethlehem, on their way to Jerusalem. I think that's why they came during the census. That's when they would have done the censuses, is during one of the feasts. I think it was this time. Why? Because you fast forward on Jesus' birthday, what happens? He goes up on a mount. Moses and Elijah show up and they say, should we build a tent? Because they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what I think. I don't know, but that's what I think. And guess when I think he's going to come back? This isn't me predicting when. Actually, it is predicting when, but not predicting when, just when. I think he's coming back at the Feast of Trumpets. I really do. I think that's why it says in the book of Revelation that the trumpets will sound. I think throughout history, God literally has redeemed every one of those days. And he created it on that day, and it has gotten screwed up since that moment. And there's just something inside of me that thinks, man, when that trumpet blasts, it'll finally be fixed. And you know what? We might be at a football game, and a punt might go in the air, and bum-ba-dum-ba-dum, and guess what? We dropping. And we're going to celebrate. Because family, in your hardest moment, he is there. And he allows hard things for all of us to experience. He allows the greatest moments and the hardest moments for all of us to experience so what the world can be redeemed. It goes on. It was that night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So the same night is a night of watching kept of the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout out generations. It goes on and says this in verse 43. This is in a part where it teaches them again about what to do at the Passover. Okay, you've heard this before. Let's hear it one more time. But this is the thing to remember is you need to remember why. We need to remember so we don't forget how good he is. We need to remember so we know how faithful he is. And we need to remember so we don't walk away from beauty to walk back into stupid. Like when the first time I went to one of the death camps in Poland, I thought to myself, why do these things still exist? And they'll tell you, as a Jewish person walks you through it, to remember that this actually happened so that it never happens again. And people still today think, this didn't happen. I've seen it. Why do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate communion? Why do we celebrate songs? Why do we celebrate sermons? Why do we celebrate baptisms? To remember what he's done. Because I don't know about you, y'all, but I need reminded. It goes on and says this. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover, no foreigner. So he's talking about all the foreigners, all the other people, the non-Jewish people. Says, no foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is brought with money may eat of it after you have what? Circumcised them. So anyone on the outside of this people group, they can come with us. They can be set free. But if they want to eat of this meal and they want to celebrate freedom, they're going to be a part of the family. They need to say, I surrender to be a part of the family. Why was circumcision such a big deal? This is why. Because the innermost parts of you need to belong to the Lord. All of you. Is it because he needs all of you? Like, I think that's what's interesting is we're such a selfish group of people. I think, well, why does he need all of us? Well, not for him. He wants all of you for you. Because any part you still hold on to, you're creating hindrances and you're creating things that trip you up. Y'all, he wants to set you free. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. Why do they not want to break any of the bones of the sacrificial lamb? This is God doing this. Can you see my face right now? Boom, right there. You see it? It was a wink. I'm going to go over here. See it? Boom. See this right here? Boom. Over here? Boom. That's what God's doing. Don't break any of the bones of the lamb. Boom. Then fast forward all the prophecies of the Messiah that comes, this sacrificial servant, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Alpha and the Omega that will be broken, that will be hung on a cross, that will die. It'll be a gruesome death, but guess what? No bone will be broken. Boom. Even though you think I've lost control now, I've got the whole world in his hands. You with me? And we can't forget it. It goes on. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. All of us who are a part of this family of God, the way that we step in to be a family member of God is what? Jesus. And he wants you to take all of him. And that's a big deal for us today in culture because people like bits and pieces of Jesus. And because of that, we have a culture that thinks they kind of know him, but we're still broken. But the more of Jesus we can take in, the more freedom that we find. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all the males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. When you say yes to being a part of God's family, you don't receive a greater blessing and you also don't receive a greater burden. Isn't that cool? When Jesus comes into this world and he's wrapped in clothes and lines in a manger and he is lifted up by the priest says he came for all the people. The only greater blessing you have than maybe someone else has is you've known him longer. And that's just a blessing for you. But all your burdens are removed in Jesus and all the blessings are given to you in Jesus. All the people of Israel, it says this, all the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. Dang. Do you guys know that this story of deliverance, this story of redemption, this story of Moses and what God did to the people of Israel, the only story that's talked about more is the cross. And in the New Testament, it's a constant reminder of the greatest moment of redemption before the cross was this.
That was Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. Redemption, dear friend, God offers you this free gift because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. For you, for me, he died for our sins. He took on our punishment so that we can have a relationship with God. as we confess our sins and ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, that redemption is secure. Remember, listening friend, how good God is, how faithful He is, and remember what He has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. On tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll continue our series with Pastor Rick Warren on seeking God for a breakthrough. I hope you can tune in at the same time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.